This is going to be a little different in that it'll probably be an eye-opener. When I started this lesson, I started about 10 years ago, and now I've had to revise it and start all over again because everything's changed. I mean, everything. And before we get started, let's pray, because I'll need some help. Our dear, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We thank you for the precious word. We're thankful that not only did you save us, but you gave us a book to go by and future writings that will help us, guide us, and direct us in our path. Lord, we're so thankful that you're a merciful and almighty God. Lord, let me have the power of the Holy Spirit in teaching this lesson. Make me a vessel that can be used, Lord, by you. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me after thy will, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the great delusion. When a person's sexuality becomes perverted, that person can no longer receive information or facts that are contrary to their view. And a lot of you have experienced that with loved ones and friends and co-workers. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For this cause God sent them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, it's all about how God will gather rebellious nations, people, and beliefs for judgment. But also, like in the Old Testament, he had his arms stretched out still. A lot of people are going to be saved during the tribulational period. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." We're starting to see that happening right now. The United Nations is calling for a 7-year covenant with all the nations of the world. And this is called the Accelerated, Sustained, and Transformative Action for Global Rescue Plans to Save Humanity. And basically what this is all about is global slavery. This might be the covenant that Daniel was talking about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. For the past 77 years, the world has been lied to. The governments have traded freedom and your beliefs for technology. We talked about that in Cain. We're in the religion of Cain now. And we have turned, they have turned their power over to these devils. We're seeing a lot of whistleblowers, so-called whistleblowers, coming out. And these whistleblowers are trying to give us new information. No, it's not a new information. We already know it. It's just old information rehashed. And they only allow this information to come out whenever something is about to happen. The same year that the Jews returned to their promised land, the devil started to spread the lie concerning UFOs and AUPs and flying saucers and all this other stuff, aliens. Governments started trading technology for access to your children's genetic makeup. These creatures claim to be our creators. So why do they need our genetic material? That should be a clue to a thinking person. Government whistleblowers say that they know that they are not alien creatures from outer space, but inner space, and that they live under the earth and under the sea. The biggest clue that these things are not what they say they are, and you're hearing this all over the internet, aliens, you know, UFOs, if you're paying attention. Whenever anyone works around these devils, they sign an agreement never to say the name cussing or any other means, say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate that name. I wonder why. They are aware that the agenda of these creatures is to destroy man's ability to reproduce and to take the world away from us. But they think they've made a deal with the devil. This goes back to 1962, when everyone was shocked when the world government said, remove the Bible out of schools, stop prayer, and get rid of the Ten Commandments. And everyone said, well, I wonder why they're doing that. No one said a word, especially Christians. They just went along with the program. Wake up. World Health Organization has started to alter man's ability to choose what an individual can do with their own bodies. And they're coming up with that new covenant that basically tells you where you're going to live, what you're going to eat, and what you're going to watch on the TV. And they want to make man compliant to their will. Teaching your children to choose their sex and destroying their body's ability to reproduce forever. Man depends on reproduction to survive and to exist. Articles of scientists creating a race of soulless beings by manipulating DNA and the egg of a woman and creating a hydrob. This is for the purpose of devils to inhabit a soulless body. I'm not making this up. I'm reading this all the time. In 1992, our government had already set a date for a cashless society by 2025, and our government is aware of what is going on. Most of them are. Articles, the U.S. Navy do report sightings of UFOs under the sea, and that there's actual dwelling places under the sea. Even the Russian admirals and stuff are reporting seeing these things. They're more open than we are. They say that this is where they're hiding, and that's where they exist. What's the Bible say? Guess what? The Bible is a literal book. You don't have to spiritualize anything. Just read it and believe it and trust in God. Because the Bible says that the beast will come up out of the sea. The false prophet will come up out of the earth. It's amazing. The Bible's true and everyone else is liars. I trust this book. I'm amazed at it all the time. I just can't get over it. So before the beast of Revelations can show up, they have to outlaw the name of Jesus Christ, because these things don't want to be around anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ or even speaks his name. There's power in that name. The Antichrist has always been working behind the scene, But here pretty soon it's going to be wide open. And it's half open now. Something is about to happen, and the world government knows it. This is why they're allowing these whistleblowers, and I'm saying allowing these whistleblowers, to get out and speak about this stuff. I think the first time I ever saw one was in 1977, and then just about 4 years ago, my wife was looking up in the sky, and she didn't want to say anything until I looked up, because she didn't know if she saw what she saw. But the big hint here is all this is coming out right before World War III starts. And it's already basically started, but it hasn't got full blown yet. Weaponizing of space. And the more you look into this weaponizing of space, the more you realize it's not to keep the aliens out, it's to keep Jesus Christ from coming back. That's a big shocker. It's not that they don't believe in the Bible. It's that they don't want to accept the Bible. They don't want to accept Jesus Christ. And they want to stop him from returning. They spent over $33 trillion. Think about it. Where's that money? It's not in Ukraine, is it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." If you talked like this 20 years ago, they'd kick you out of the churches. They said, "You're a nut." But if you're not seeing this on the news and watching it on the TV and watching it on the internet, you got your head in the cloud. The closer we get to the rapture, the evil in men's heart are more exposed. Have you seen anything as bad as it is right now? If you have children in public school, you're risking their lives. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And I saw when a lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat on had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, when you look at this bow, and a lot of people have said, "Well, you know, he's got a bow in his hand, and he ain't got no arrows," and all that stuff. But I think it goes a little deeper than that. He's a counterfeit Christ. He's trying to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head." This is the angel of the Lord. So what we're looking at is a counterfeit Christ in chapter 6, verse 1. "And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire." And he can't imitate that. Jeremiah calls this time the time of Jacob's trouble. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 says, "Alas, that great day, a day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." And there's going to be a lot of people saved, as we're going to see here in a minute. The Holy Spirit will now turn to the nation of Israel. And right about this time, the 144,000 are going to be sent down to this earth, and they're going to be sealed, according to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, before all the destruction starts. And they're going to go out like Pauls. And I call them Pauls because Paul was one man, but he turned the world upside down. And we're seeing that diminish in the Gentile world. And it's starting to increase in the Jewish world. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, it says, the king, the Antichrist, shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above all every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, that's our God, and shall prosper till indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor desire of women, that might be what the rainbow is all about, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Remember Star Wars? And the God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. The world as a whole, but not everyone, will be turned over to a reprobate mind. And we're seeing that going on right now. You can't talk to people. Even Klaus Schwab over there in Germany, that wants this new world system put in place. When he met with the Pope, he dressed up like Darth Vader. Have you seen that picture? He looks like Darth Vader. He dresses in this outfit with this robe, and he walks in like Darth Vader. He's identifying himself as a religious dark leader is what he's doing. And he wants you to know that he worships the God of forces. Is this the Antichrist? No. When the Antichrist comes, he's going to come up out of the sea. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, it says, and even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness. And the list goes on and on and on, how wicked man has become. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6, it says, talks about sexual confusion. It says, ask ye now, see whether a man doth travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all the faces are turned unto paleness. How many pictures have you seen of pregnant, supposedly men, that women that claim to be men? It's pure confusion. Amen. So one of the signs of the tribulation is confusion of the sexes. God warns about it in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. It says it's an abomination. The church is gone with the Lord before Revelation chapter 6. The seals are open. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking for him any day. But I'm looking for him soon. The Lord Jesus Christ said it would never be a time like it, as devastating as the time of the Great Tribulation. And man, are we seeing that. Queen Elizabeth's husband, Prince Philip, when he was alive, he made a statement, if you can find a man that can rule the world, whether he be God or a devil, we will follow him. And according to King Charles now, he says, we need a vast military-style campaign to usher in the agenda of the WEF. Enslave humanity. Make them do what you want to do and kill off most of them is basically what they want to do. After the rapture has happened, the leaders of this Christ-rejecting world will get what they want. And it'll be someone that will be horrible. When the Antichrist comes, he will claim to be Nimrod, Zeus, Apollo, Muhammad, Buddha, and Dalai Lama all in one. But not the name of Jesus Christ, because that's outlawed. He'll look just like what this AI is putting out. And if you haven't seen it, it looks like those pictures that people have on their walls of Jesus, this half-breed Jew with blonde hair, anemic hippie, and that's how AI portrays him. But they don't know my God. This Antichrist will have a love for money. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Satan's downfall was he loved power and he loved his merchandise. He loved his position. And it was his downfall. He loved money. Remember Judas? He was a devil. He was a keeper of the bag, the money. And he sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. But the Bible says he was a devil. The Antichrist, when he comes, he is a devil. He's not a man like you and me. And he will become the son of perdition in the middle of the tribulation. When we get into this, and I'll try to get over there because I'm probably running out of time. This always takes more than I think it's going to. Let's go to the second horse. Well, let's look at this first. How did we get where we're at today? Our high schools and our colleges have started teaching the human manifesto. And it's basically communism. They started teaching evolution, situation ethics, moral freedom, which is no morals at all, self-sufficiency, no accountability, sexual permissiveness, anything goes, anti-religious bias, there is no God, you're your own God. Socialism, the government controls everything. One world government. Death education, there's no afterlife, but there is, and they're going to pay one day. Human destiny, man makes his own future. Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Now comes the real guy, the red horse. It's danger, power, and war. Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's Russia and that's China and all that stuff. No, this is the Antichrist. This is the beast. He's out for blood. And he's not out for any blood. He's out for the blood of those who reject his rule. These are the people that have had loved ones taken up in the rapture, and all of a sudden, it's true. And this man that's come on the scene is not Christ, it's the beast of Revelations, and he's going to drag us all to hell. Now think about it. 8 billion people. When the church leaves, everyone who's ever witnessed to anybody, all of a sudden they're going to wake up. All those fanatic Christians that they've brushed off for years and years and talked terrible about, all of a sudden their eyes are going to be opened, and they're going to see that this is true, what they've been saying. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, he says, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Yes, they're going to die. And I know I teach a lot about this, but you got to get this down and you got to start telling your friends. Whenever this tribulation starts, it's not going to be an easy saved by grace through faith, it's going to be receive the Lord Jesus Christ, stay true to Him to the end, and die a horrible death. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 says, "And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." It's going to be a worldwide campaign. 8 billion people on the face of the earth. We all know about super soldiers and all that other stuff that they've been working on. So don't think that you're going to go through the tribulation defeating the devil and his angels. The Bible says they overcome you. You're going to die. Christians will be fleeing out into the rocks and the hills and the mountains and the caves to hide from the Antichrist. Man, God put into man survival. And you're going to do whatever it takes to survive. And you're going to be eating bark from trees and, you know, during the tribulational period. I call this the Great Awakening, the last big awakening. 144,000 Jews are out preaching the gospel and warning people not to receive the mark and not to go with the devil and to stay away from it. Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 says, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard a voice, heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see not, hurt not the oil and the wine." When you start looking at this, now, Robert Breaker did a great video on Revelation chapter 12. And he talked about how in chapter 12, it talks about the star alignments in September of that year, in 2017. And that only happens every 7,000 years. That's quite amazing if you think about it. But Vertigo and Leo and the stars and the sun and the moon were all in the right constellation and or positions, and then Jupiter goes into the womb and comes out 9 months later. It's quite amazing if you think about it. God's word is written in the stars. Well, 2017 has been 7 years ago. Now, 2024, we're looking at famine and pestilence and all kinds of stuff happening, because for the last year or two, the governments have been battling with farmers not to grow. And places have already seen shortages, but by the time we get into 2024, people are going to notice it in the grocery stores. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it talks about the things that happened during the Exodus are in samples for us today. So you go back to Genesis chapter 41, talking about Pharaoh and seeing the fat cows, and then the lean cows come along and eat up the fat cows, and there's going to be 7 years, good, 7 prosperous years and 7 bad years. And when you look at how what happened in 2017, we had Trump and everything was prosperous and everything started growing, and we're still living off that prosperity. But now they're attacking the farmers and telling them not to grow things, and we've had weather, horrible weather for growing crops. So every little bit hurts. And they're projecting 2024 is going to be a time when things are going to get rough. the world governments have been taking food and putting them underground and storing them underground for years. They no longer put them in battleships. They no longer, you know, when Clinton got in office, he sold all that stuff. But they no longer have these big, gigantic silos and stuff. It's all underground to where you can't get to it. And the only way you'll be able to eat during the tribulation is you've got to give in to the devil. You've got to go along with his plan. If you want to drink, you've got to go along with his plan. And when this war takes place during the tribulation and 2 billion people are going to die, and whenever you have 2 billion people dying, there's a lot of diseases, pestilence. The only way you're going to eat is if you comply to the government. And they'll decide whether you're going to live or die because eugenics, what the pastor talked about years ago, that stuff is going on now. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, hunger, death, and beast of the earth." When I was looking at that beast, I thought, you know, they're going to feed man to the beast. And I couldn't help but think about Rome when they took the first Christians and they tied them up in their arenas and they turned these beasts loose, and people were entertained by watching the beast chase down a little kid and eat it and tear it to pieces. People were really entertained back then. But I can see that happening now with as wicked as man is. But wouldn't it be something that 2 billion people were saved during the tribulational period? Think about it. If you go back 2,000 years and count up all the Christians, you probably can't come up with 2 billion people. But that's the way God is. He's merciful. My wife reminded me when I was telling her about this, she said, "Well, you know, remember the parable of the workers in the field and how God..." Or Jesus said that in the last hour they brought workers into the field and they paid them the same amount of money as they did the people that were there all day. And I thought, yeah, that's the way God is. You can't help but love him. He had mercy on my soul. This time is going to be horrible. In verse 9, it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw the altar of the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?'" And look what the Lord says. "And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants and their brethren that they should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So man's going to have to sacrifice his life to be saved out of the tribulation. Now, these people are not going to be the church. These are the guest. The church is completely different. We're saved by the blood. These people are saved by the word of God and their testimony. And they have to shed their own blood. So that's a big difference. But you're the holy priesthood. You're the bride of Christ. What a privilege. What an honor. But I can't help but think about 144,000 Pauls being turned loose on this world, and how convincing Paul was to a world that never even heard of the God of heaven, and how he got so many people to convert. 144,000 of these apostles, and they'll have the signs of the apostles just like Paul did. Not like these charismatics say they have. They don't have nothing. But my God will give it to these men. Colossians chapter 1:20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." It's all about the blood. If you haven't been saved by the blood of the Lamb, you might want to talk to God and find out where you stand with him. We're not saved by a prayer. We're not saved by a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. We're saved by a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his precious blood. And if the Holy Spirit's not living within you and telling you you need to be saved, or that you're saved, and you don't have a hunger for the Word of God, and you don't have a hunger to do something for Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. "And I beheld, and lo," he opened the sixth seal, "and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the moon became as blood." Now, let's just stop there and look at this thing. The sun becomes black as sackcloth. How many people have seen on the news all the sunspots that are going on in the sun? And some of these sunspots take a big old portion of the sun. What about the whole sun becomes one big sunspot? That's where the sun is intensified. And CMEs and all these other rays are coming out of the sun, and they're hitting the Earth's atmosphere, and it's diminishing and taking away our protection from these ultraviolet rays and all this other stuff. We're about to go into the second half of the tribulation. We haven't even got to the second half yet. And that's where all the terrible things God pours out. The first half of the tribulation is all about the Antichrist, the beast, developing his system and taking over the world and killing off all the Christians, all the people that want to be follow Christ. The second part of this is when God pours out his wrath upon sinful man, and every one of those judgments that God pours out on man, man still refuses to repent, even when they know they're dead and they're on their way to hell. Get saved today before it's too late, if you're not saved. "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even the fig, as a fig tree casts out her untimely figs when she is shaken by a mighty wind." And these are not just meteors. These are angels, fallen angels. These are your worst nightmare, along with Satan, will be cast down to this earth. God's going to shake the world, he's going to shake heaven, and it's all going to fall down to this earth. And you don't want to be here when it does. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, and he cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 says, "Whose voice then shook the earth, But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So we're living in exciting times as a Christian. If you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you are protected. God has his hand on you. If you're not, the Bible says that the lion seeketh, Romans seeketh who he may devour. I wouldn't want to be you. And I ain't afraid of nothing. At least I thought I wasn't. Never afraid of nothing. But here lately, I've been seeing things that people are seeing and taking pictures of, and I'm kind of, I don't want to go there. Because the devil, hell is opening up. And you're going to hear more and more about this as time goes on, because these things are coming up out of hell. When Christianity went through Europe, all these creatures, these giants and they call them cryptids, all these demonic creatures were pushed out of Europe. They went to America, and then the pilgrims landed on America, and then they started pushing down to South America, but they all disappeared. Because our God is great. But as America diminishes with its Christianity, and the world is kicking out Christians and imprisoning Christians, these things are coming back up out of the earth. And we've been seeing this since 1947, when Israel became a nation. Revelation chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, it says, and heaven departed as a scroll, and then it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of its place. And that's what a lot of these scientists and geologists are saying right now, that the world is on the verge of flipping poles. And when that happens, there's a lot of movement of the continents, and all this other stuff is going to happen, and it's going to be devastating to mankind. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it's happened before, and it probably will happen again. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every one bondman and every free man hid himself in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And that's where these underground facilities are located. Deep underground. They think they can escape God's judgment. But they can't. It's not going to happen. But isn't it funny that when Christianity was here, these things went underground, and now that Christianity is weakened and we're about ready to be taken home, these things are coming out. And then when they come out, these rich elite go in. I mean, it's kind of funny if you think about it. The last time this landmass moved was in Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, if you want to read that. Job talks about these people that go into the valleys and the caves and the clefts and the rocks in verse 6. And he calls them they're viler than the earth. Abased men, that means they're evil, wicked. Verse 9 says, and now I am their song. Yea, I am their byword. They abhor me. They flee far from me. They spare not to spit in my face. And that's the way the Jews are going to be pictured during the tribulational period. But 1/3 of the Jewish population will be saved. And I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful revival. And then, of course, we go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. And they said unto the mountains and the rocks fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sat upon the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? It's going to happen soon. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 talks about the, and I talked about this last time, it's where the seventh seal is opened. And there was silence in heaven the space of a half an hour. God pauses. And he says, I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And these seven trumpets and seven vials are the biggest, worst nightmare you can ever imagine. And I don't want to be here. I don't want you to be here. That's why I talk a lot about this stuff. I don't want anybody to go there. I don't want anybody to end up in hell burning and screaming their guts out forever. Amen. I don't want them to say, well, that David Valance didn't say nothing. Or that Charles Lawson never said nothing. They can't say that. What about you? Are you telling people about hell and about what's coming and how close it is, and your family members? Just keep praying and keep planting seeds. Don't nag people. This is what I tell people about when you witness. The Bible says you plant a seed and then someone comes by and waters it. But God gives the increase. So all you do is just plant a seed. Hand them a tract. Tell them what Jesus Christ did for you. Then let someone else come by and do the same thing. Pretty soon something's going to go off in that guy's head and go, maybe God's trying to tell me. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Thank you, Lord, for being a merciful and almighty God with your arms stretched out still. Lord, help us to be mindful of those that are around us. Lord, help us not to be negligent in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name. Bless the pastor as he preaches today. Bless the visitors as they hear the word being preached, and Lord, I pray that you'll just lift them up. And Lord, help us, Lord, to do those things which are pleasing to thee. Blessed be your holy and righteous name, my blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.